Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in a passage of Scripture found in Matthew. And this is something Jesus said, which is a very powerful promise to us. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, this is really quite a statement, promise, however you want to say it, to really the seeking heart that we all have. And many times the question that you'll hear in the world, you know, who am I? Why am I here? And so people many times will go on a quest to find themselves. And you can give yourself to a lot of stuff. There have been a lot of people who have lived and died and have never found themselves, because they were looking in the wrong place. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In other words, when you begin to go after Jesus, when you begin to look for him, you begin to, you know, you pursue Jesus, you will begin to find yourself. How does that look? How does that look in real life? To lose yourself, to find yourself in God, to find yourself in Jesus. So that's what I want to look at this morning. And very simple message, simply called finding yourself. How do you find yourself? Age-old question. Coming and going and looking and finding yourself and searching all over. And of course, we know that there's a lot of different ways that people try to find themselves in different avenues. But we're going to start to find ourselves the way Jesus found himself. Do you know Jesus found himself when he was on the earth? And he found himself in a certain way, finding yourself in Scripture. Before Jesus really began his ministry, he kind of gave everybody a heads up. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went, as usual, to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the Scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So what is Jesus doing here? He is finding in the Scriptures where it is spoken of him. He found himself in the Word of God. He knew what he was here for. And while he was in his earthly ministry, he gave us also kind of a heads up on how we can find ourselves in the Scripture. There was a guy who came to him once, Nicodemus, and he was a Pharisee, and he had some questions for Jesus, and Jesus told him this. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit." So Jesus is telling Nicodemus that if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to find yourself, that you're going to have to be born again. And of course, that's a foreign concept to Nicodemus. He doesn't have anything really to relate that to. But Jesus is saying, no, you're not getting born again physically. You're getting born again in a spiritual way. Now, this brings us to a passage of Scripture that's probably one of the most famous passages of Scripture, because this is where we find ourselves in the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there it is. He goes on to tell Nicodemus, if you believe in me, you won't perish, but you will have everlasting life. In John's gospel, he said, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. They're reborn. Not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And then another place in 1 John, his epistle, he says, and this is what God has testified, that he's given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. So what are we talking about? We're talking about finding ourselves, and we're talking about finding ourselves in the Word of God. Of course, when we see what Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me, yeah, Jesus, you came to be Savior. You came to do all those cool things, to do all those miracles, to do all that amazing teaching, you know? But ultimately, Jesus further explains why he was here too. He was here so that we could believe on him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him. Now you'll notice that believing on him and what Jesus establishes earlier, even what Dave was talking about, we're not just part of a religion, just duty and checking boxes and all that stuff. Christianity is such a supernatural faith that's unlike any other faith. Because when we believe on him, but to all who believed on him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. In other words, believing on Jesus, what am I believing? I'm believing that Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He came to this earth 2,000 years ago as a Savior, to die on a cross and to take the punishment for all my sin, that the iniquity of us all was placed upon him once and for all. One person getting sacrificed, one person getting punished on the world's behalf and taking upon himself the wrath of God in place of everybody and receiving all that punishment so that we can put our faith in that sacrifice and receive the forgiveness of my sins. What does it mean that he took upon himself the sin of everybody? That means my sin was on that cross. Everything I ever did wrong was on the cross. And what am I believing? I'm believing that he took my place. I'm believing he died for my sins. What am I getting ready to do? I'm getting ready to find myself. But something's going to have to get lost. You're going to see there's a relationship between losing and finding in this whole thing. Something's got to get lost for me. My sin has to get lost on the cross. Everything I ever did wrong has to be lost in the sacrifice of Jesus. If I'm holding on to that, holding on to that identity, holding on to my works and what I've done, I'm still stuck with myself. I'm still stuck in sin. But when you believe in him, he gives you the right to become. In other words, it's not like, oh, that's cool. I like that psychology, and so that my bad is there and his good. No, it's not psychology. It's not a spiritual concept. It's a power to become something. He said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, unless you experience a new birth, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. When you believe on him and you accept him, you don't join a faith or join a church. You become a child of God. You get born again. Something changes on the inside. Now, what is it that you do? You simply believe and accept him. This could be very dramatic, or it could be very quiet. There's no requirements as it relates to, you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and it's really dramatic. He's just riding, and he experiences a light and a voice from heaven, and it's a dramatic salvation experience. Most of us, it's not that dramatic. You hear a message, and in your heart you say, yeah, I believe that. The same super dynamic work works the same, regardless if it's dramatic or it's very subtle. You're believing something. You're saying, my sin is lost on the cross. It's there. Praise God. Born again, too. A lot of times we kind of associate that with born again is simply accepting and believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. That's it. You're believing the gospel. And what does it say? And this is what God has testified. He's given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have God's Son does not have life. In other words, when I believe on him, at the moment I believe on him, not only do I lose my sin on the cross, I gain, I receive, I become born again, but I receive eternal life. That is amazing. In other words, eternal life isn't something that I get after I die and hope I go to heaven. Eternal life is something I get before I die. And because I got it, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live forever. I receive eternal life that outlives this body. It's something that happens. My judgments happen. My judgment happened when I received Christ. My sin is judged in Christ. So it's done. It's a done deal. That's really amazing. That's where my salvation is a gift. It's nothing that I've earned. It's nothing that I've merited. Now, I will say this. When you find yourself, you might experience what Jesus experienced too when he found himself in the scriptures. Now, this is kind of continuing on with our initial passage that we read about Jesus where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, when he got done saying that, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down, all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and he began to speak to them. Today, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. In other words, he's basically saying, I'm the fulfillment of this prophecy. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him, forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. In other words, when Jesus is saying, man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Today, the scripture is fulfilled. In other words, the Savior is standing before you. Their visceral reaction was, who does this guy think he is? Sometimes, as you find yourself in the scripture and you realize that you have eternal life and you know and you have an assurance of your salvation that you're going to go to heaven when you die, you will get that reaction too. Who does this guy think he is? How can you have an assurance of salvation? How can you? Because you found yourself in the scriptures. You found yourself. This is where you are. You are a child of God because you've believed in him. And that's all you can do. Now, as you receive Jesus, as he becomes your Lord, he becomes your Savior, the search isn't over. In fact, the search is in some ways has just begun. Because you initially start out finding out who you are as a child of God, you know, finding out your need for Jesus and your need to receive eternal life. And, you know, it's so different than the paradigm we think, you know, people that are unreligious, ungodly, religious, godly, righteous, good. And there's a truth there. But I like the way I heard one person put it. God didn't send Jesus to this earth to make bad people good. He sent Jesus to this earth to make dead men live, to give them eternal life. Because you can't have goodness without life. It's like first things first, all right? Goodness will come, but it's not going to be in yourself. It's not a self-goodness. It's a goodness that comes from that life of God. And so you find out first things first, all right, who am I, where am I? I hear the gospel, all right, I get it, it makes sense. Jesus died for me, I receive him, I have eternal life. I remember when I received Jesus, experienced eternal life. Man, it's amazing. It's amazing to just know that you're loved, that you're forgiven. Praise God that you're his. And, you know you have an assurance. Scripture says, you know, in Romans it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's that knowing. That's that sense. I got the Holy Spirit witnessing that I'm a child of God. Hard to articulate that always, but it's an inward knowing. It's an inward intuitive knowing according to the Word of God and according to the witness of the Spirit that you have on the inside. So there is a finding yourself in the Scripture as it relates to salvation. But then there's also a finding yourself in Christ. Once you're a child of God, once you've believed upon Jesus, and you've, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. So you see some things, and you know that, okay, there is a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm a child of God. I love Him. I've called upon His name. And one of the first things that happens when the Spirit lives in you is the Spirit who inspired the Word of God will begin to draw you to find out what's in the Bible. You know, the Bible is a closed book to this world. It's a Spirit-inspired book, and it requires the Holy Spirit to really understand it, to have insights in it. Sometimes you might see some documentaries of people who don't know God explaining this book, and it's like, oh boy, you know. I know according to your calculations, and I know exactly where you're coming from, but you have no idea where I'm coming from. Unless you're born again. Unless you understand some things about the Spirit of God. It's not that I can't hang with you intellectually. I can. But you got to know some things spiritually. Some things that are spiritually discerned by God. And when you get the Spirit of God in you, this book begins to open up. It begins to unfold. And man, the finding gets to be pretty cool stuff. This is an unfolding of who you are. Because we think, oh, I'm born again. Yeah, you're born again. But when you find yourself in Christ, that's when you begin to go under the hood on what it means to be born again. It goes from a concept of new birth to taking the new birth and putting it under the microscope and saying, whoa, this is what it means to be born again? Yeah. Yeah, it's not just a happy feeling. It's not just a little, you know, something to feel positive about yourself. No, 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 no. You're changed, you're a child of God, and this is what God did in you in that moment that you got born again. Now understand this, that all these things that we're going to look at are things that happened at the moment you received Christ. These aren't things you graduate into. These aren't things that you pass a Bible quiz and get this as a credential. This is an amazing work that God did in your heart by His Spirit. The moment you said, okay, yeah, Jesus, I need You. I need that sacrifice. Immediately, when the new birth happens, this happens. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Again, not a bad person trying to be good, making a dead man live. Making the core of your being brand new. I mean, that's an amazing thing. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference. Your ethnicity, education, economic status, they matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything as He lives in every one of us. Someday, unless Jesus comes back in our lifetime, we will depart and be with Christ. Our spirit will go to be in the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, there's no ethnicity, there's no economic standing, there's no distinction there. You're just all one in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation. And nobody shines brighter than anybody else. You're just a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old previous moral condition has passed away. That's an amazing, wonderful, glorious thing. Now, this is some stuff that we're finding out about us on the inside right now. Because right now, we're a new creation. Right now, the old has passed away and all has become new. Those distinctions that we fuss about down here, praise God, are not fussed about in heaven. Because your distinction is new creation. Oh, yeah, you're a new creation. That's what you are. When we also see in the picture of heaven that it's from every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation. Man, everybody is reached when this is all said and done. Everybody is reached. But we're all gathered as new creations in Christ Jesus. Those distinctions are gone. So when you think of that, sometimes, and as we wrap our mind around this, we can kind of begin to imagine, you know, what does that look like? New creation. I remember first hearing about this and thinking, oh, that's cool. And then, as believers, has anybody ever sinned since becoming a Christian? All right, we won't have a testimony service. But we know that even though we're a child of God, it doesn't mean that we don't ever sin or that we're never tempted to sin. And we've got to understand something. If you can kind of think of this side of the cross as being, you know, before you knew Jesus, kind of a natural person before you knew Jesus, but then you receive Jesus and then become a new creation, it's two completely different experiences. Before you knew Jesus, when it came to sin, you had two problems. The old previous immoral condition was there, and you had a body that was fighting you. Your body, your mortal body, it's mortal for a reason. It's got appetites that are what the Bible calls flesh. They're corruptive. And so you have sin fighting you from the outside in your body, and you've got sin fighting you from the inside in your very spirit. The scripture says it's a condition that's called, you know, without hope, without God. That's where the gospel, the light of the gospel, brings hope. And it says, oh man, Jesus took my sin? Praise God. Okay, yeah, I believe that. I receive that, and I get born again. Then what happens? I go from 2 to 1 as it relates to sin. Now on the inside, there's a desire to want to do right. There's a desire to want to live for God that I didn't have over there. I just had some hope of the gospel, and it changed me. Something on the inside changed where there's a desire. There's a newness, but I still have a body that's fighting me, okay? And sometimes that can fool us. And we think, oh, well, I still have a desire to do bad things, so nothing must have changed. No, something changed. Part of you didn't survive this journey. Part of you did survive this journey. Now, there's coming a day, the scripture says, when this body, you know, Paul's language, when this vile body shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's the way he puts it. All right? Where a body that's fighting you now is not going to always be fighting you. This is temporary. There's coming a time when this body is going to also be, in other words, the thing that happened to your spirit on the inside, it's about to happen to you on the outside. And your body is going to be in perfect harmony with your spirit. And your spirit's going to say, we ought to do this. And your body's going to go, yeah, that's right. Instead of fighting you, no, I want to do this. It's going to be perfect, in sync. Now, but we're here for right now. We still got these bodies that are fighting us. So I just, you know, telling on myself, I remember hearing about this, reading about this. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I'm just kind of feeling beat up because I missed it. I sinned. And all of a sudden, I literally said it out loud. I said, well, I guess that's just who I am. And I had the Spirit of God arrest me. And that's a really cool thing when that happens sometimes. He will arrest you. And just like got my attention, he just spoke. It's like I heard something and I saw something. And I just heard that, no, that's not who you are. And I just saw a little picture, it's like a little mini vision of myself, that inward man, that new creation. And he said, this is who you are. That came at you from the outside. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And I remember I went home, or you know, I was actually there, but I went and got my notebook and I drew 3 circles. Little one, bigger one, and the biggest one. And on the outside I put, that's my body. And the second circle to the inside, I said, that's my soul, that's how I feel. And then the inside circle, I put a little smiley face and said, that's my spirit, that's who I am. Part of losing yourself and finding yourself is that identity. In other words, if I want to find myself, even as a Christian, I got to be willing to say, that's not who I am. I got to lose some old identities. And you want to know something? Some of those identities that you can find familiar, comfort in, a lot of times we'll talk about, in a positive way, comfort food, different things like that. A lot of times our body and sin can become a form of comfort food for your self when you're not really living for God, when you're, you know, there can be a certain identity that you have with sin that's your comfort. And man, part of finding yourself and losing yourself is when you begin to realize, I don't need that anymore. I can still enjoy life without that. That's not who I am. I'm a new creation. It's not boring. It's not weird. It is joy. It is peace. And I remember seeing that, and it's like, wow, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Again, we're not trying to make bad people good. You're trying to make dead men live. The paradigm switches. Over here, before you knew God, you're kind of under the law. I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. Now you're already a new creation in Christ Jesus. I got to believe who I am. This is who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. I am already brand new on the inside. So what are you saying, Pastor Ed? Well, here we go. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What? And you once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you blameless and above reproach in his sight. Does that mean I had a really good day today? No. I don't care how good of a day you got. You are created in righteousness and true holiness. There is coming to grips, there's coming to terms that God has made me righteous. Could you imagine yourself being presented holy, blameless, and above reproach to he who sits on the throne and under the Lamb in their presence? He is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and he looks at you, and he sees absolutely nothing but holy and above reproach. On our best day, we can't come close to that. What are we saying? This righteousness that we've got, it's a gift. It's a gift, but it's who we really are on the inside. Now, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into this. He goes on to say, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign through the one, Jesus Christ. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now you would think this, oh, this is really good. It's like too good to be true. Tilt, okay, I'm going to go back to identifying. This is where you begin to find yourself. There has to be an acceptance in this. You know, I didn't really study it out, but I know that in grieving, there's different stages of grief where there's shock, and then there can be anger, but at some point, there has to be the peaceful resolve to move forward. Well, when that old man dies, there's kind of a grieving process there too, where you're kind of going through some stuff. And it's like, because you want to go back to what I do and what I think, but at some point, it's like, you know what? I'm righteous in God. I'm righteous in him. Thank God. He has made me. Now, do I make a mistake? Do I still sin and miss it? Yeah, when I do, what do we do? We go before God. We confess our sins. And when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all 100% all unrighteousness. And we stand righteous before him again. Now, on the inside, sin doesn't corrupt my person who I am. It affects my conscience. But that's where I'm forgiven, cleansed, my conscience is restored. But I'm staying that new person. I'm staying that new person on the inside. You know, I've often thought about this, and I've wondered, you know, God, what is it going to be like when I finally get the full revelation of who I am in you? This new person. Am I going to just wake up someday and just feel like, whoa, the world's going to look different, and I'm going to just be feeling warm and tingly on the inside and all that kind of stuff? Because I see it right here in the Word of God. It doesn't happen that way. In fact, the scripture says that we have to be renewed. Put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There is process in this. The new birth is instant. Coming into who you are in Christ is a process where you begin to see yourself according to that new man. You begin to see yourself as a child of God. That's one aspect of it. It goes on to say, and this is in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, again, you're righteous, all right? So we're building on top of the fact that you're righteous. And I know that can take a while to sink in, but you are righteous. When you go to be with Christ someday, you're going to experience the fullness of the new creation without the distraction of the flesh, the world, and the devil, and the stuff around you. You'll see yourself in your glory. Like I had that little mini vision that helped me. Okay, wow, this is who I am. I'm a child of God right now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In other words, we not only find out that we're brand new on the inside in finding ourselves, but we find out that we have a strength in Christ and we have the love of God that's been poured out in our hearts. Now, again, this is where you find yourself. And the way you're going to experience the new creation and find yourself, it's going to be incrementally, and it will be in some beautiful, subtle ways. In other words, for example, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What does that mean? That means as a new creation, with the love of God in your heart, you can forgive things that you couldn't forgive before. You're a child of God. You have the love of God in your heart. I remember one time just being at a point, I was so mad, I was so frustrated, and I just told the Lord, Lord, I'm stuck. I'm checkmate. This is it. There's no way out of this. The Lord said, there's another way out of this. He said, you can forgive your way out of this. You can forgive your way out of this. You don't have to stay stuck and mad. You can forgive your way out. Getting ready to lose myself. Getting ready to find myself. Getting ready to find that I can forgive beyond what I feel like I can. Okay, Lord, you're right. I can let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from me. I can be kind and tender-hearted, and I can forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. I can put on the new man, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. I can consciously begin to realize and declare, this is who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have the ability to forgive because you've told me to forgive. Lord, I'm going to forgive. A person like this can bless those who curse them. They can do good to those who hate them. They can pray for those who spitefully use them and persecute them. What is it? There's a losing and a finding. But I'm telling you what, when you find yourself here, because when you're not here, when you're holding on to self, you have to live in fear that the worst doesn't happen. But when you're over here, you don't even care if the worst does happen. You're just going to forgive and do whatever God chose you to do next. There's a security here. There's a losing yourself. There's a finding yourself. But I'm secure. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to love. I'm going to forgive. I can't. But with the power and the love of God in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can forgive all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not doing it in my own strength. What am I doing? I'm finding myself. I know a lot of these principles are like, you need to forgive. Over here, it's not a finger-wagging thing. It's, Lord, I'm not serving in an oldness of the you need to forgive letter law. I'm serving in a newness of spirit. I can't. I've already tried that. And you can maybe do things that make us look good in front of people, but I'm talking about in your heart where you live, where you're really free from bitterness. This is where you're going to have to tap in and go, God, I need you. I need to find more of me. I need to find more of who I am in you. Some things and circumstances in life are challenging me, and I got nowhere to go but deeper in who you've made me to be. Because I know I can do all things through Christ. So it's kind of like you're drilling down for the gold, right? And you've kind of, your roots go so deep. You're only so rooted. But these life, and a lot of times, they'll cause you to search deeper. I can forgive that. All right. I know it's there. I know I've got what I need. I'm not afraid of the worst thing happening anymore because I already know what I'm going to do next. I already know. I don't have to live in fear. I don't need people to line up. There's a trust in God that's just causing that rest and to go deeper in him. So there's a strength and there's a love that's on the inside of him that we get through him. purpose and plan. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we could do the good things he planned for us long ago. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Something else happened here on the way to the kingdom of God when I received Christ and got born again. Not only did I get life and become a new creation and have the love of God shed abroad in my heart, but he also put a purpose and a plan in me. He put a plan of good things he ordained me to walk in. He calls me his masterpiece. And you remember when Jesus was on the earth and they lost him for 3 days, his mom and dad? Yikes. And then they found him in the temple. And he said, "Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" When you get born again, now you have a business to be about. Good works he's ordained you to walk in. That's a big question, people. Why am I here? Finding yourself in Christ answers that question. You find out why you're here. He gives you things to do that make an eternal impact. When you get to heaven, you're not just there going, ooh, ah, wow. You're finding out how what you did down here impacted the outcome of what's going on up there. I mean, it's going to be an amazing thing to see the sea. He gives you a sense of purpose and significance. See, that's where the works of the flesh, we looked at those last week, adultery, fornication, lewdness, outbursts of wrath, drunkenness, revelry, all those common denominators, those are the things that make you like everybody else. The good works he's ordained you to walk in are what make you unique, are what make you truly special in a powerful way that isn't just for self, but is love to bless other people. So we find that significance. We find that uniqueness in the good works he's ordained us to walk in. That's another finding. Finding and losing. And that's where, too, when it comes to stuff in your life where the scripture says, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you, different things like that. And I've been here with everybody else here struggling with stuff in the flesh, and it's like, you know what? Again, it's not an old finger. You shouldn't do that. A good Christian wouldn't do that. And that's not the paradigm we're living under. We're serving in a newness of the Spirit. In other words, I'm saying, man, I want to be free from this. So I've got the spiritual and mental and emotional bandwidth to do what God's called me to do. You're laying aside those distractions. You're seeing it for what it is. There's a scripture in Peter that says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Realize that I can't do that. There might be a temporary little suffering that you can't do that, but you'll wean off that thing, and you won't want it anymore. And there will be a desire for the things of the Spirit of God, man, that'll just put excitement and just purpose and vision. It's like, man, that's what I'm here for. So you begin to find out there's a purpose and plan. Yes, we deal with the flesh stuff, but we're walking the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We walk in the Spirit to do the good things that God has ordained us to walk in. So we realize God isn't trying to spoil our fun. He's trying to free us up to do what he's called us to do. That's the newness of the Spirit. And then finally, you're never alone. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. That's why the Bible's hidden from them. They could study it in a scholastic way, but if you don't have the Spirit inside of you bearing witness to truth, you're going to miss a bunch of stuff. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will show you things to come. I'll tell you what, this is one of the other big joys. When at the moment, again, that you just call on his name, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. This is the ultimate. I mean, I look back and I think, man, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad you stuck with me, that you love me. He is not a condemning spirit. He's a drawing spirit. When I miss it, my heart condemns me, but the Spirit of God draws me to a throne of grace to receive mercy and grace. It's the Spirit of God that will say, don't give up. Don't give up. The Spirit of God's going to show you things to come. But you're never alone. You've always got him with you. You've always got the Spirit of God speaking, encouraging, ministering to you, even at the point of death. Again, if Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, the point you die, it's not just that you leave your body to go to heaven. You and the Holy Spirit leave together. You're always with him. He's always with you. You're never alone. There's a sense of the presence of God. I mean, this is an amazing thing. I don't care if you've been out of fellowship with God for years. He's still with you. He's still in you. And all you have to do is look up and begin talking to him and listen for him to talk to you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. I love the story we'd heard in Bible school about this guy who, he's preparing for the ministry, and he just decided to go the other direction, to backslide, forget this. I just want to do my own thing. And he was just out and doing a bunch of bad stuff, being where he shouldn't be. He's in one of these clubs or whatever, and all of a sudden he just hears the Spirit of God just rise up on the inside of him saying, "What are you doing here?" And he said, he just said out loud, "What are you doing here?" Even when you miss it, even when you're rebellious, even when you're playing hard to get, even when you're a cold shoulder, he's still right there. He's still right there. He never gives up on you. He loves you. You're never alone. Even when you think you're successfully running away from him, you're not. He's still drawing you. He's still loving you. He's still showing you his ways. So finding yourself. There's a finding yourself in Scripture, finding your need for Jesus, calling upon his name, experiencing the new birth, what Jesus calls born again. After you're born again, you continue in your rest of your Christian life to begin to find out, what does that mean? What is this new birth? What happened on the inside of me? And you begin to find some amazing things. You are not alone. Your righteousness is a gift. You are standing in a place of right standing with God that you begin to identify with that righteousness. This is who I am. And you begin to act, talk, think in a way that's in line with who you are. You also experience the presence of God, the love of God, the Spirit of God. These are the things that will cause you to begin to lose yourself. Okay, I can forgive this. Okay, I'm going to lay this aside because I want to find myself. And Jesus said what? He said, if you lose yourself for my sake, you're going to find yourself. You're going to experience more of the new creation and who you are on the inside. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the power of your Spirit, your Word, the promise that you've given us. The promise that we have in you, Lord, that we can just look to you, that we can call upon your name, be saved. We just thank you for all the good things that you do for us once we are saved, once we are in Christ. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith, if your heart can agree. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for the new birth. Help me to see. Help me to understand what you did in me. Through the new birth, Lord Jesus, today's my day. I'm calling on your name. I believe you died on the cross for everything I ever did wrong. I lose my sin today. It's on the cross. I receive forgiveness. I receive mercy. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, man, let me know. Let somebody know. Just say, "Hey, you know what? Today is my day. Today was the day I settled it in my own heart. I just stopped living under the weight of my sin, and I just chose to make Jesus the Lord of my life today." I'll tell you what. I'd love to give you some materials and things that can help you and best decision that you'd ever make in your life. Praise God.